2 Timothy 2, and we'll just use one verse here tonight as our text, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. Very familiar verse to most of you, I'm sure. I want us to look at some principles that we can draw from this tonight. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 2, and verse 15, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Now this this verse, the first word in the verse says to study. Study to show thyself approved unto God. And that word doesn't necessarily mean like in school terms, you know, studying a science or studying math or so on. It doesn't necessarily mean that, but the word does mean to be diligent to apply. That's what the word means. Be diligent to apply to what? To show, to prove yourself, to be approved or accepted of God. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So, diligence and effort is a priority when it comes to the things of God. And I want us to talk tonight, actually, about what is it that will make the Church of Christ succeed? What will make Plaque Road Baptist Church be successful in our efforts for the Lord? And this word, study, means to be diligent, to work at it, to make effort, to apply. God's people, listen now, God's people, you and I, we determine the level of God's approval and how faithful we are to serve Christ. Let me say it again. We determine ourselves the level of God's approval in how faithful we are to serve Christ. And so what is it that will make the Church of Christ succeed? And that's what the title of the lesson is tonight. How will Christ's church succeed? And that's what I want us to focus our attention on. Just some principles. Some basic principles that apply to you and me that have a direct connection and a direct effect on whether or not Plaque Road Baptist Church is going to succeed for Christ. The first principle on whether or not our church will succeed is in God's people, for God's people to be diligent and have determined effort. How will Christ's church succeed? By diligence or determined effort on the part of the people. Now let me say it again. We determine the level of God's approval and how faithful we are to serve Christ. The Word of God instructs us to be diligent, to apply the truth that we know. Diligence is required in the service of the Lord. What happens if you are not diligent in your spiritual life? I'm sorry? Okay, you grow weak. You lose ground. Certainly you lose ground. And we lose ground when we slip into a state of spiritual lethargy. We cannot slip into a state of spiritual lethargy if we are going to succeed for Christ. There must be determined, diligent effort and work on the part of the child of God. That's work in your own spiritual life. It's not even necessarily, you know, work down at the church. That is important, our service to Christ. But it's work on the inside, on the inner man, that really makes the difference. Look with me at Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20 and beginning in verse 26. We're talking about not letting ourselves slip into a state of spiritual lethargy. Acts chapter 20, verse 26. Paul is talking here to the Ephesian elders. He calls them together and he's having a meeting with them. And he says to them, "Wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Therefore, watch, and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. What is Paul's admonition here to these Ephesian elders? You need to watch yourself. You need to take heed unto yourself. Therefore, stand and watch. Be on guard. That is not the description of somebody who's spiritually lethargic. Paul says to be on guard, to watch. You know what, folks? There cannot be a time when we let our spiritual guard down. Part of being on spiritual guard, if you will, is active involvement in evangelism. Did you know that? Part of being on guard spiritually is active involvement in evangelism. Look at verse 31. Paul said, "Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years, I cease not to warn everyone night and day." In a day of apostasy, folks, a mind to think on pure things and a heart to live right has to be cultivated in the life. It's not something that comes naturally. It's not something that just comes easily. We need to practice and apply and cultivate a mind that thinks on pure things and a mind that wants to live right. It has to be worked at. We can't be spiritually lethargic. We have to be diligent. We have to be determined. Look with me at 2 Timothy chapter 4. I want you to see Paul's heart here as he writes to preacher Timothy. Understand the emotion, the passion, and the heart that Paul demonstrates in these verses. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. He says, "I charge thee therefore before God." He said, this is a challenge, this is a charge to you. He says, "I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at His appearing and His kingdom." He's saying, Timothy, I'm giving you a charge based on the fact that we are going to stand before God and give an account. That's why I'm giving you this charge. He says, preach the word. Be instant. In season. He says, be ready. In season. Out of season. Reprove. Rebuke. Exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. He said, Timothy, you be on guard, you be ready, you be diligent because you're going to stand before God. You need to reprove people. You need to rebuke some. You need to exhort and you need to have patience in doing it. He says in verse 3, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. They shall turn away their ears from the truth." They don't want to hear it. "And shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist." There it is again. "Make full proof of thy ministry." Paul's heart here is, Timothy, it's important. You be on guard. You watch. You be ready because you're going to stand before the Lord. There are people who need your influence in their life. And if you are not what you should be, you're not going to be able to help them. Let me ask you the question, church member. Are you on guard? Are you diligent? Are you determined to think on pure things and to have a heart to live right? What's the norm for your life, church member? Do you saturate your daily life with the Word of God? Do you saturate your life with spiritually edifying things? Or is it the norm to fill your mind and your life with worldly entertainments? See, if we're content to fill up our heart and our mind on our daily life with worldly entertainments, we are spiritually lethargic. We are not on guard. We are not watching what comes into our mind, what comes into our life. And it has an influence, whether you think it does or not. That's what's so deceptive about it. You have no idea how far down it takes you. It's just like that old story about the frog thrown into a pot of water, right? And then and it's cold water, room temperature, and it feels good and so on. And then the stove is turned up, the burner is turned up. And slowly that water starts to heat. And it lulls that frog into a state of lethargy until it's boiling and it's too late. That's what the world does. That's what the influences of the world does, my friend. And we don't have any idea how far down the road it's taken us. We have no idea how spiritually weak we really are. If we're going to succeed as a church in the work of the Lord, it is incumbent upon the members of Black Road Baptist Church to be diligent in their personal life and to walk with the Lord. Because we determine the level of God's approval in our faithfulness to serving Him. You know, the spiritually apathetic ones are the ones who are okay with being dormant in the work of the Lord. See, they pacify themselves with their worldliness, and they have no understanding and no idea how dormant they've become. But the one who's on fire for the Lord, the one who's diligent and determined in his spiritual life, and he wants to grow, he's got a burning desire inside of him to make a difference in somebody else's life. It's a natural result of a close relationship with God. When was the last time you handed out a gospel tract? When was the last time you even thought about it? When was the last time there was a burden on your heart for somebody you didn't even know? See, when we're filling our minds up and our daily lives up with the world and worldly entertainments, the importance and the value of serving Christ goes right out the window. Spiritual lethargy. If we're going to succeed, there needs to be diligent, determined effort. The second principle that we want to explore tonight is the way that a church is going to succeed is by faithful participation. All right? Listen, folks, we all have a great responsibility in being actively involved in ministry, being actively involved in evangelism, being actively involved in caring for the house of God, which is part of our stewardship. We all have this responsibility. And we need everyone's participation, faithful participation. You know, evangelism, some people think that evangelism is the pastor's job and the staff member's job. And yeah, it is. But it's not just the pastor's job. Jesus said to his church, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel." What do we see in the first century, the first church, when persecution arose? What did they do? The whole church, they were scattered abroad. They went everywhere preaching the word. Guess where the apostles were? The preachers. They stayed in Jerusalem. Whose job is it? It's all of our job. It's all of us. We all have that responsibility. And if there's going to be success in the work of the Lord, there needs to be faithful participation by everyone. There's some things that I want us to do this winter, Lord willing. And the Lord is working on me and helping me to put together a plan, a way that we as a church can be actively involved together in evangelism. And Lord willing, I want us to be able to create a night of the week where we have ministries that are going on at the church that everybody can have a part in and be involved in. I want to call it Great Commission Night. This is not a foreign concept to some. There's lots of churches actually that do this, and they even call it that. But whether it's called that or not, that's not the point. The point is, what are we doing? What are we doing to serve the Lord together? And some ideas that I've thrown around is, number one, we've got a calling ministry that needs to be up and running again. That needs active participation. We've got other opportunities. I want us to do some mail-outs. some packets with a letter from the church and some gospel tracts and a correspondence card in there if somebody wants to have that. A church brochure, information on our church, but just to mail it out to people to just somehow get the gospel into people's hands that maybe we wouldn't otherwise run into. How about a ministry of encouragement? You know, ladies, writing letters to missionary wives, encouraging them in their work for the Lord and supporting their husbands. What about something like a birth and bereavement ministry where we find out, you know, who's had newborns born into their family, and or people who've had a death in the family, where we send them something in a gospel tract and just something to say, you know, we're grieving for you in your loss, or congratulations on the arrival to your family, and here's a gospel tract, just something from us, a way, just something, a way that we can get into somebody else's life. Prayer ministries. Lord willing, a campus ministry again. I'm praying that the Lord would open a door for us to be able to get a campus ministry going again. Opportunities to have a presence on the university. What a mission field that is. What I'm saying is that I believe all of us need to be involved on some level if you want to be a true disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you truly want to obey the commands of Christ, then you're going to be involved on some level. This church is going to succeed, and we're going to be effective in outreach if we do all that we can possibly do to get the gospel in people's hands. There's something for everybody to be involved in. That is why the Lord gave each person a spiritual gift, to serve Him through the local New Testament church, then to take the responsibility of going into all the world and preaching the gospel, taking it personally. How can I be involved in evangelism? I praise the Lord for many of you who are regularly witnessing to people on your job. It's a blessing to hear of people who have potential Bible studies opened up because they just spoke up and said a word to somebody. Or people who are actively involved in other people's lives and they see there's a need and they through the power of God and through the leadership of the Holy Spirit get into that person's life and try to influence them for Christ. That is a blessing. We all need to be involved on some level. Faithful participation is what it takes. We must be doing what we can to get the gospel in people's hands. And you know what, folks? This has to be the primary purpose and the primary focus of Plaque Road Baptist Church. It has to be the primary focus of individual members of Plaque Road Baptist Church. See, if our minds are filled up with the things of this world, if our minds are deadened because of worldly entertainments, the value and the importance of fulfilling our purpose is diminished in our lives. We don't see it. Evangelism has to be the primary focus and of primary importance to the members. And the heart attitude, folks, needs to be, I love the Lord. I love His church. And therefore, I'm wanting to serve Him by serving in and through His church. You know what? Not just in areas that I prefer for myself either. Follow me here. I'm going to show you something in just a minute. But let's go back and talk about this again. Evangelism and getting the gospel out needs to be the primary focus in the lives of the members of Plaque Road Baptist Church. Serving the Lord is not just about serving just where I want to serve. You follow me? There are times when people are like, well, you know, my area of service is over here. This is what I really like to do, and I'm not willing to do anything else. That's not a heart of, Lord, I love you. I love your church, and therefore I want to serve you any way that I can through your church. I've known people like this, actually. They've got some talent. Let's say it's in music, for example. They're talented musically. And they have a gift, to be sure. And maybe a voice to be jealous over. And they know they're good. And see, this is where my expertise is. This is where I like to serve the Lord. But cleaning the church? What? What? Okay. Going on visitation, going to the nursing home, not even a thought. See, that kind of a person has no business serving in any capacity that they think that they should serve in. And honestly, if I'm the pastor of the church and someone's portraying that kind of an attitude, oh, I serve the Lord, I sing, I do this, whatever, I would say, no, you don't. You know why? Because the heart is not right. It's not done as unto the Lord. It's done to please me and to lift me up. A true servant's heart is, Lord, I love you. I love your church. I'll do whatever you want me to do. In relation to that, there are some things that are necessary in keeping things together around here. And I just want to introduce something to you that the deacons and I have been discussing that is related to faithful participation. This very subject that we're talking about. Lord, I love you. I'll serve you anywhere I can. Just for your information, the two deacons that you have chosen, Brother Hickman and Brother Caleb Humphrey, are doing a good job. What we have done is we've given them some jobs so far to do. Brother Hickman is overseeing of the interiors of the buildings for right now. It's his job to maintain and keep things in order, and Brother Caleb Humphrey is having the oversight of the exterior of the buildings. And they're doing a good job, but I've been talking with them, and we've put together a way to ensure that things are getting done around here that need to be done, that are important, that are necessary, and that there's no one who's overburdened by it. One of the things that we have talked about is that we have noticed, actually, that there are some things that are failing to get done, like in the way of cleaning the buildings. There's some very faithful people who do this, but it's a big job. And some people can and be overburdened. That's unnecessary. And there are just some things that are being neglected that are not getting done. And we wanted to come up with a way to ensure that we're going to guard against that. And so what we've done is we've talked about a way that we can all share the burden, a way that we can all be involved to where things are getting done how they should be getting done, and nobody is overburdened with a responsibility. And I believe that we all have the responsibility of stewardship with the things that God has given to us. We all have the responsibility of evangelism. It's part of our purpose. And so what we've done is we've talked about, I had Brother Hickman work on this, and what he did was he put together, took all the names of the active members of the church and put them on teams. And the idea is that each team is going to have a responsibility for cleaning the church and keeping it up to date, keeping it orderly, and so on. And it's going to rotate on a weekly basis. And so this is a preliminary, an idea of how it could go. Team one, Brother Thompson would be the captain of that team. Each team is going to have a captain. And each captain is responsible then to have his team in the right place to do the right job. So team one would be Brother Thompson. And it would be his week, their week, and there's his team members. And it's his responsibility to make sure that his team members know that it's our week for cleaning the church. here's the list of things that we need to do, and it's his responsibility then to make sure that everything is done and filled on that list. Brother Hickman is overseeing all of this. All right? Then there's team two. Brother Jordan Humphreys, the captain. And he's got his team. Team three and team four and so on. And can you switch the slides? I don't have the clicker up here. Or do I? Oh, you did it. There it is. Thank you. So essentially what we will do is that each team is going to be responsible for that week. And this calendar shows it starts on Monday, ends on Sunday. And I did it on purpose like this so that you get the idea, okay? So you look at Sunday the 3rd. That was the last Sunday. The next week, Team 1, it's their responsibility to have the church clean and have things ready for Sunday the 10th. Then Monday the 11th, it's Team 2's responsibility to clean the church and have it ready for Sunday the 17th. Does that make sense? Everybody follow that? And we're trying to just put together a way that all of us share the responsibilities and all of us are doing our part and nobody is overburdened. There's not a reason for that. And things will be done decently and in order. I would suggest, team captains, I would suggest something like this. You know, save Thursday, Friday, Saturday for cleaning days and make sure that your team is available one of those 3 days to accomplish their job. Maybe not everybody can show up on the same day. But if everybody has a responsibility and all the responsibilities are full, it's all going to get done. What can happen is that if you know you clean on, say, Monday or Tuesday, well, then Wednesday happens. And the building can get dirty and things can go undone. And Sunday rolls around and there's some stuff that's not finished. I would just suggest, as a possibility, save it for Thursday, Friday, Saturday. So that way, on Sunday, things are in shape. And Wednesday rolls around and so on. My point is, and this is the direction that we're going. This is a template. This is an example of how it will be. And we'll be starting this very, very soon. The point I'm making is that whether it's, you know, cleaning the church, whether you're involved in music, whether you're involved in FCC, whether you're involved in Pioneer Home, whatever it is, we all have a responsibility to be involved some way. And it takes diligence in your personal life. It takes faithful participation on the part of the church members for Christ's church to succeed. There can't be an attitude of, well, I just serve here and this is what I do and leave everything else to somebody else. Because things don't get done if everybody thinks somebody else is going to do it. You follow what I'm saying? And we need to have an attitude of, Lord, I love you. I love your church. I love serving you. And I want to take an active role in any way that I can. Now, our numbers are few. And so, therefore, it takes all of us to do a good job. We need faithful participation. I want you to follow me with one more principle tonight, and I'll close with this as soon as I can figure out how to shut this off. The way that Christ's church is going to succeed is by diligent determination, by faithful participation, and then also by careful association. Follow this principle. By careful association. Folks, we hurt ourselves when we have worldly connections. You know, Jesus made time for publicans. Jesus made time for sinners. But they, you know what? They weren't his buddies. Folks, the principle is that we need to be in people's lives. We need to get alongside of people and make a difference. But it's for the purpose of reaching them for Christ. Not to be buddy-buddy with the things of this world or people of this world. We need to practice what the Bible, what I believe is a biblical principle, and that's ecclesiastical separation. That's church separation. We need to be separate from this world and its influences. And somebody might say, well, I do a good job of that, Pastor. I try to limit the influences of the world in my life. I try to live a separated life, and that is good. Praise the Lord for that. But let me throw a little caveat in here. Sometimes, sadly, this practicing careful association means that even inside of the church, you have to be careful about who you associate with. You know what the Bible says? The Bible says to mark them and avoid them that cause divisions among you. Look at Romans chapter 16. Romans chapter 16, verse 17. The Bible says this, "Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple." It shouldn't be this way, but sometimes it's true. We have to be careful about those that we associate with, even in the church, and that's a sad thing. It shouldn't be that way. But on the flip side of that coin, look at Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 7. No, verse 17, sorry. "Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an ensample. For many walk, of whom I told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ." And so Paul makes a comparison here. He says, "Brothers, be followers together of me, and you make a note of those who are doing the same thing. You make a note of those who are walking after our example." He says, you make a mark on those who truly love the Lord and who truly want to serve Christ. And you surround yourself by those kinds of people. Those people are the associations that you want to have in your life. Mark those that want to live godly. Surround yourself with these kinds of people. Why? It will encourage to godliness and to service of Christ. Look at Hebrews chapter 10. Why do you want to surround yourself with those kinds of people? Because it encourages and edifies and helps encourage one another in the things of the Lord. Hebrews 10 verse 24 says, "And let us consider one another." Why? "To provoke unto love and to good works." Our associations make a big difference in our lives. The association of whether we're going to be worldly and carnal, or an association that's going to edify and strengthen in the Christian life. Let me ask you the question. Does your life inspire others towards godliness? Ask yourself the question. Does your life inspire others toward godliness? You know, the birds of a feather, they flock together, don't they? And your associations say a whole lot about what kind of a person you are and what's in your heart. How is Black Road Baptist Church going to succeed? By a whole body of people who, number one, understand how important a close relationship to the Lord really is and are determined to keep the world's influences and attitudes from corrupting their minds. How is Black Road Baptist Church going to succeed? By a whole body of people who, number two, humbly and gladly are willing to participate and sacrifice to be involved in the work of Christ. And here's something that's real novel. You know, real service, folks, is sacrifice. It is. David, I've said this before maybe, but David, when he wanted to build a temple for God, he wanted to build something beautiful and something that would honor the Lord. And he went to buy the threshing floor of Araunah, and he said, "No, I'll just give it to you. You take it." And David said, "No, I'm not going to give to the Lord that which costs me nothing." You know, our spare time, the few moments that we have left over after we've done all that we wanted to do, those are available. I guess I'll do that for you, Lord. It's not real service to Christ. Real service is sacrifice. That means it doesn't matter what I would rather be doing. I love the Lord more, and I'm going to give because I have the time to do it. I'll serve you, Lord. I'll serve somebody else. I'll do something for somebody else because I love you, Lord. How are we going to succeed? By a whole church, a whole group of people who are humble and who gladly and willingly want to participate and sacrifice to be involved in the work of Christ. And then how is Black Road Baptist Church going to succeed? By a whole body of people who are careful about their associations. Surround yourself, let me encourage you with this, surround yourself with those that would encourage godliness and sacrifice and service. Make those kinds of people your friends. Number one, they're real friends. And number two, there's going to be strength and encouragement towards godliness and holiness and separation and service to Christ. And then become that kind of a person yourself. Strive to be that kind of a person yourself whose life inspires others to do right. Amen? That's a formula for success. It's the right heart attitude. It's as unto the Lord, because I love you, Lord. So let me encourage you with that, folks. In your relationship with the Lord and your life, is it in something that can inspire others towards godliness? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you for the sacrifice of himself for wicked, vile, undeserving sinners who gave his very all. And Father, I pray that we in turn would hold nothing back, hold nothing in reserve. But Father, with humility, give our very all. All that we have, all that we are, all of our time for Christ. Father, I pray for our church. Lord, that you'd bless us. Father, I pray that you'd grow us in spiritual maturity. Grow us up in the Lord. Father, that we would be strong. Father, that we would be stable. That we would be mature. So that, Father, we can be all that you want us to be and reach our world for Christ. Father, I pray for each and every one in this room, myself included, Father, that we would have humble hearts before you. Father, just to be vessels, empty vessels, waiting to be filled and used of God in any way that you choose. Father, that the motives of our heart and our life would be because of love for Christ. Lord, thank you for faithful people. Thank you for a church that is passionate about serving the Lord, that's passionate about reaching the lost for Christ. But Lord, I also know there's always room to be better. In my own life, I am so keenly aware that there is room to be better. And Lord, I want to. I want to so badly. I want that for our church. That you would be glorified. That Christ would be exalted. That all men might see and know that God lives here in Plaque Road Baptist Church. That His hand and His power is on this place and on your people. Make us different. Bless us with Yourself. Father, as we look ahead, and Lord, what You'd have us to do, give us wisdom. Father, ways that we can get the gospel into people's hands. Give us a key, or two, or three, that we may be able to see fruit in the gospel going forth and making a difference and changing people's lives. Thank You for how You've worked already, Father, in the lives that are being changed because of Your Word, because of Your Spirit. It's a blessing to see the Lord working in people's hearts. Father, we pray for those who are being ministered to on a weekly basis. Pray for Angie in the Bible studies that Caleb is having with her, Caleb and his wife. Father, empower them in the words that they would use. May they be controlled by the Spirit of God. Take Your word. Father, pierce her heart. Father, water those seeds. Father, bring her to a place of true repentance. Father, we pray for this girl named Melinda. Open up the door for these Bible studies with Kara. Pray that she'd be serious about it. Father, for Brad Shepherd, who's heard the gospel, who's seeking more. Oh, Lord, help us to do all that we can to be ready, to be diligent. Father, to be vessels that can be used of You. Father, we thank You for the time we've had here tonight. Thank You for Your people and their willingness to serve Christ. We love You. Father, help us to do better. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.